Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is supported in part by the Bertha Foundation.
Good evening, Lewis.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm more excited than anything because we've got a huge month of live shows coming up. This is a quick plug for all of them because you need to know. Newcastle this weekend, we're coming to the Civic Theatre, which is going to be great. Kirsten Drysdale's on our show. Also, James Pender from Sammy J is doing the show. Also, Lewis Hobber, who is the number one drive time host in Newcastle, will also be doing the show.
We did it. We absolutely did it. It's, of course, I come from a long history of steelworkers, coal miners and rugby league fans. So it only makes sense that me and Michael Hing, a Dungeons and Dragons enthusiast and former computer game commentator, would be crushing it in Steel City.
Not only are they going to be crushing it in Steel City, is Lewis going to be crushing it in Steel City, the next weekend he's going to be crushing it in Bega at the Bega Valley Commemorative Civic Centre, which I maintain is a too long a name for a venue. They should have just gone with BVCA or the BVCC. That would have been much better. We're going to be doing Irrational Fear at the BVCC, including some incredible people like Gabby Bolt, a friend of the show, Gabby Bolt, comedian Mick Nevin, who has been through, I think, two or three bushfires, and also Scott Ludlam, former Senator of Australia. Scott Ludlam will be joining us on the show in Bega.
Well, Australia and New Zealand?
Australia and New Zealand, yeah, yeah. Former Senator of both countries, yeah, Section 44.
Former New Zealand spy, Scott Ludlam.
Yeah. I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gadigal land in the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
Irrational Fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, fair dumb, and Section 44. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, the world apologises for calling John Cena a respectable actor. And Scott Morrison commits to giving one-off $500 payments to anyone living in postcodes affected by COVID lockdowns, or $10,000 payments if your postcode is in a marginal electorate. And a political party named the New Liberals has won their bid to keep their name, with the AEC ruling that the Liberal Party can't claim ownership over the word Liberal. In other news, we're starting a new party called the Bad Liberals. It's the 4th of June, 2021, and vaccination is the race that stops the nation. This is Irrational Fear.
Irrational Fear!
Hi, welcome to Irrational Fear. I'm your host, former blood clot Dan Illich. And if you're new around here, this is the show that takes a look at the world in chaos and brings order to the mess by making jokes about it. Welcome. Let's meet our first fearmongers for tonight. He is one-third of Australia's favourite absurdist sketch comedy podcast, The Grub, and he's one-ninth of the extended ensemble family of Auntie Donna, but he is 100% Arabica coffee. It's Ben Russell.
Ooh, wake up in the morning with Ben Russell. Beautiful. Thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure.
And she's a writer, performer, comedian, director who feels so strongly about media pluralism. She once donated to Wikipedia whilst taking a shit. It's Newcastle's favourite daughter, Beth McMullen. Or Sadie Bruce Lomax.
Yeah, Sadie Bruce Lomax, Beth McMullen. Look, I'm in the transition phase. It's very strange when you change your name to be a performer. wouldn't recommend it, but it's fun.
And here's the host of the number one drive time show program in Newcastle. It's the king of the kids who still listen to radio, Lewis Hover.
Oh, yeah, Dad. Honestly, it's been a great week. The radio show I do with Michael Hing, it fails in so many aspects of quality, listenership, financial, so many losses. And to finally get a big win and for it to be in my new spiritual home of Newcastle is just something else.
Are you preparing for a life post-Triple J? Is this what is happening here? You're going to travel to Newcastle. You're seeding the beds of commercial radio kind of intent in Newcastle. Is this a new life for you?
Yeah. I've been trying to get out since the day I got in. It's a nightmare in there. It's an absolute prison. I've only ever been to Newcastle once, so I have no idea. I don't really know that much about Newcastle. I expect we'll find more out this weekend. I'm excited about it.
Lewis, as the person on the ground, I can confirm that Newcastle is in fact having a full-blown renaissance and is like straight up middle class.
I don't know why you think that attracts me.
Because it's like, it's just, this is getting very confusing. You can call me whatever you want. No, because it's like, you get everything here. The only thing that it doesn't have that would sort of like tip it into city territory is an IKEA. But it's like, so much food, like they love their food and drink culture. They just don't know how to prepare a takeaway coffee in like under 15 minutes. But they care a lot, very earnest, beautiful place, beautiful beaches, nature galore. It's truly amazing here. Yeah, I just really want to get out.
Coming up on the podcast, we interviewed Daniel Bleakley, who's the guy responsible for the Twitter account Miners in Teslas, as opposed to the OnlyFans account Miners in Teslas, which is a whole different thing. But first, here is a message from this week's sponsor.
This episode of Irrational Fear is brought to you by the National Vaccine Rollout. Remember, it's not a race, it's a marathon, which is the name of a race, but in this case, no one is racing. It's more of a fun run, but not funny. And there's no running, because the national vaccine rollout is the gold standard, a monetary policy that was abandoned by Australia in 1932. Still, it sounds nice, like a gold medal that you'd get if you won a race, which the national vaccine rollout definitely isn't. Authorised by the Department of Mixed Metaphors and Grasping at Straws, Canberra.
Very good there. Oh, speaking of COVID, Ben, you're in lockdown in Melbourne. How's this fourth lockdown treating you?
I want to stab myself over and over again. It's the worst. This is actually my fifth lockdown.
Oh, my gosh.
I was lucky enough to be in Brisbane towards the start of the year with their little snapdown. And that one was cute. That one was fun. This one, it's old. I'm done. I've seen this. I've seen it over and over again.
This is Rocky V, you know? You're like, actually, Rocky IV was pretty good. Like, we didn't think they could do it again. And then you're like, you know what?
It's too much. This is Karate Kid 3. It's no good. Put it in the bin. I'm over it. I'm angry.
I heard a great quote from the acting premier this afternoon. I'll let you play it. He was talking about Scott Morrison and the Commonwealth dicking around.
How can anyone trust anything this Prime Minister says now? Frankly, he's a bullshit artist.
I really enjoyed that. I thought that really summed up a lot of the mood of people in Melbourne, would you say?
I think it's gone. I mean, yeah. People aren't pissed off at the state government anymore. We're like, why aren't we vaccinated? Why is the hot mess garbage fire of the United States so far ahead with their vaccines and we are like 2%? It really grinds my gears, if you will.
When they say it's not a race, it definitely does feel like we are an Olympic gold medal tally at the moment. And you're like, what? China, Russia, America beating us.
The list
this
looks
is outrageous.
We're traditionally good at team
the
sports.
The list looks a lot like the list of countries with the best internet at the moment.
I also enjoyed that joke because we're all a bit delayed by about 3 seconds.
My friend in America was like, hey, how come you guys aren't vaccinated? Like, apparently, like, no one wants to get vaccinated over there. I was like, oh, my God, there's, like, fake news getting across the country as well. It's on us. It's our fault.
It's really bizarre. I've been on phone calls with people on the Bertha Foundation Fellowship who who are supporters of this podcast, and all of my colleagues in Zimbabwe have been vaccinated. Zimbabwe is vaccinated, but we're not vaccinated. And it's really funny. The guy's like, oh, well, I could come to Australia, but you can't come here. And I'm like, yeah, that's right.
There's so few of us. Like 25 million is such a small country in the grand scheme of things. Like every other country just be like, what are you doing? We could do this in a day.
Didn't they approach Australia and be like, Pfizer was like, how many do you want? And they were like, no, we've got our own plan. While they said that on the phone while, you know, fingering their own buttholes, I imagine. It just doesn't make any sense.
Or just jerking off over their low contraction numbers. They were like, we don't even need to think about vaccines. We've got this on lock. We copied Jacinta. We're going to be fine. Like,
the federal government was too busy hatching up new ways to save their rich mates money to order anyone. It was like, you gave all those tax cuts to the billionaires, but did you get the vaccines? Yeah, I'll get to it in a second.
I think
Scott Morrison vaccinated the most important person to Scott Morrison and then forgot about it. And that was Scott Morrison.
Irrational fear.
How can anyone trust anything this Prime Minister says now? Frankly, he's a bullshit artist.
Your fear is rational.
Elephants are roaming China. Yes, over the last year, a herd of 17 elephants have made their way 500 kilometres from home. They've escaped from a national park in southern China and are moseying their way north, pretty much destroying everything on their way. Fearmongers, are you concerned about these elephants, Ben?
Listen, I love a good mish. You know, when you were a kid and drinking was fun, and you'd have to go on like a hell mish to like get some food, or you know, go to the bottle shop that served didn't check your ID. This is what these elephants are on. They're just like, let's fucking get some kebabs on another place. And but they don't. They've forgotten. They've forgotten at this point where they've what their original mission was, and they're just having a good time. They're up to no good. Starting to make trouble in the neighborhood. I appreciate it. You know, knocking on alcohol factories, getting a buzz going, keeping the party rolling. You know what I mean? It's fun. It's a vibe.
They've done like what? A couple of $1 million worth of damage, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I saw a video on the South China Post of mechanics showing how these elephants have busted into their mechanic shop and have drunk 2 tons of water. They had they had like 2 big barrels of water, a ton each. And he's like, yeah, when they came in, the water was up here, but now we have no water left. They've drunk all
You know what
water.
I want to see come together, actually, is the 17-strong elephant stampede and the million-strong mouse plague of regional New South Wales. Like, would they trample them all, or would they sort of Dumbo-style freak out and jump up on stools?
Is this like that old adage, would you rather fight one elephant-sized mouse or 1,000 mouse-sized elephants?
I just wonder if they're like, you know, the pilgrimage, like they're just like, okay, so you know the pilgrimage for Lawrence Anthony, the former like environmental conservationist, that were like elephants just like go to his house, just like they just know this is the anniversary of his death. Did these guys get like lost at the wake and they just drunk on all the alcohol and they've just continued on and they're just really sad about their lost friend?
Well, that's what they think. They think that the leader of the elephant, let's not call them gangs just yet, but soon, they think that she was like, let's go this way. And then they kind of ran into, you know, the alcohol factory, I think was a big play, and they got, a bunch of them got drunk. Yeah. 2 of them were like, I'm going home. Get out of here. And they left, went back to their original territory. And the leader was like, yeah, I know the way. Those guys are idiots. It's this way. You morons. Now she's gone too far.
Yeah. They were like, I know. I'm an elephant. I never forget the way.
Because there's nothing more embarrassing than an elephant that's forgotten the way. They're like, have you forgotten the way? No. No, it's this way.
No way. I totally remember.
I like the idea as well that anytime there's like a herd of elephants causing damage, Rome gets nervous. Like, I just like to think that there's someone there being like, not again. It's been 2,000 years and now they're back.
Irrational fear.
Regardless of COVID, This ball has been touched by many sweaty men out there on the field. Just go and sanitise your hands before you start eating your chips.
Irrational Fear.
Second fear this week, AGL is taking Greenpeace to court over a campaign they've run recently. Greenpeace claims that that the AGL is Australia's dirtiest polluter, with 85% of the energy giant's electricity coming from coal. Greenpeace's campaign says that they're responsible for more than 42 million tonnes of CO2 in the atmosphere last year, and that they are Australia's biggest domestic contributor to climate change. But here's the rub. AGL are not disputing any of those facts. They're not taking Greenpeace to court for the claims that Greenpeace are saying. They're disputing the fact that Greenpeace is using the logo in the campaign. It's a copyright dispute. Wow. Greenpeace is saying, you know, fuck you, Greenpeace. You can't use our logo. And Greenpeace is like, so I think we can. I think we can use your logo if we're going to tell people how bad you are. I was like, what is AGL concerned that Greenpeace is going to trade as an energy company and sell electricity, try to sell electricity in the street? I think that's an interesting idea. I mean, you do get stopped by Greenpeace people in the street all the time. Maybe it'll be, instead of signing up to save Greenpeace, it'll be to sign up to get their electricity from coal.
What a pivot. A strange pivot from Greenpeace, but, you know, everyone's got their price.
That's right. You know, we could actually fund a lot more boats if we just sold a shitload of coal.
We use the coal to fuel the boats.
Genius. Oh, my God. Yeah, you guys actually talked about how good coal is. You know, once you burn it, you actually get a shitload of energy. Has anyone ever talked about this?
I love the idea of signing something up in the street to Greenpeace and them promising, yeah, you'll get a little lump of coal, and your little lump of coal will send you a letter every Christmas, and it'll tell you what it's been up to all year.
It's like someone that's been against alcohol and then just takes one sip and is like, this is the best thing I've ever tasted.
Earlier this year, AGL has been trying to give more of a greener image. So in March, they announced they're going to split the AGL company into two companies. One, AGL, the company we know and love, which will sell electricity. And they promised that company will be carbon neutral as of July. And two, what they're doing is they're taking all of their fossil fuel assets and wrapping it in a second company called Primeco, which will just be the fossil fuel pumping company that no one will ever see. And AGL will be what they call scope 1 and scope 2 carbon neutral. So they're going to look after their own fucking carbon footprint, but just take electricity from Primeco and sell it on to consumers. It's like, hey, you know, we're just selling electricity. It's whatever you do with it, it's up to you, you know.
For a company that's very like finicky about the use of pre-existing brands and logos, it's a bit rich to just call their shit Prime. Like, is Amazon going to sue them? Is this just going to become a like turducken of large suing
Prime
companies?
Possum is just going to come back and, you know, really take them down for taking the really wholesome image that Prime Possum worked very hard to instill.
Companies always, you know, they want to be seen as people in the eyes of the law, but why can't people be seen as companies? Why can't I be like, I'm going to go crash my car into a store? And people are like, Ben, you're in a lot of trouble. And I'm like, no, sorry, that was Ben Prime. I'm good Ben. That's evil Ben. So you can get him into trouble, but good Ben's fine. Don't worry about it.
It's like a legal Horcrux situation. You're like, I've split my soul seven ways, seven companies, and until I commit seven crimes, you'll never catch all of me.
Well, this is the whole reason why I launched a stage name, was so that I could just like go and do shit and not have to worry about the consequences for actual self. That's and then it's just fun. Really confusing. And yeah, it's except like, all my friends like couldn't find me on social media. Like I had several friends being like, where the fuck did you go? Did you block me? Do you hate me now? And I had to.
Yes, but also. It's so,
it's so interesting. Like that idea that companies get away with a lot more than individuals is just phenomenal. Scott Galloway, who's a professor at New York University, wrote this incredible piece this week about the daily burn ratio of CEOs at failing companies. And Steve Ballmer, when he was running Microsoft and he bought Nokia, was burning money at $22 million a day. The guy from WeWork, Newman, was burning $13 million a day, whereas Bernie Madoff, because he's an individual and was running his Ponzi scheme, was only burning $2 million a day. But like Steve Ballmer could burn $20 million a day for a few years and never go to jail for it.
It is on one hand crazy when you hear these international people of stories of people failing upwards, and yet our Prime Minister was like managed out of Tourism Australia. So
it takes a true genius to get
if you can't
slowly
sell
pushed out
like a country that is all coast and sunshine. Like if that is a job that is too hard for you, like mind blowing.
Well, you certainly can't vaccinate it. If you can't sell it, we'll not be able to
vaccine. Where the bloody hell are you?
That's because all his pitches in the meetings were like mines. I can't think of anything else.
I actually do have one other thing. Gas.
Irrational fear.
This government continues to abandon farmers and regional communities. They are doing absolutely nothing about this house.
The leader of the house has
Speaker,
the call.
I move the member be no longer heard.
All those of that opinion say aye. To the contrary, no. I think the eyes have it.
Your fear is rational.
This week's third fear, if you've come off some sick profits off your Dogecoin, the ATO may be keeping its eye on you. Yes, the ATO reckons that profits made on cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin are subject to capital gains tax. Well, I say to the ATO, come get your tax. I'll give it to you in the dark web. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Great idea, Dan. Stop taunting the ATO. I look forward to seeing how this plays out for you.
I'm going to put all my money into NFT memes.
And Sadie, have you sold an NFT yet?
Oh, I'm too scared to like do too much in terms of the fact that I have like an incredibly high appetite for risk, like really high risk tolerance level, except it has to be really calculated. So I've done like deep dives on crypto recently, and I've watched myself lose out on gaining thousands of dollars. Did give a bunch of tips to my ex-partner though, who like significantly doubled, like made a lot of money.
Well, if it's any comfort, yeah, they might audit her and put her in prison, or him or her.
That'd be great. Maybe I could get some back. Except I've thought about different NFTs that I could like try to create. I just love crypto so much, and I just love the idea of all of the regulators just chasing their tails. You know, they're effectively also trying to come after. God, what? Oh, now I'm having a brain blank. The guy with the moon face who owns Tesla and is pumping Doge. Like, it's clearly.
Elon Musk.
Thank you, Elon Musk, insider trading.
When you said moon face, I was like, Bert Newton owns Tesla?
There's a new crypto, Good Morning Australia. And it's going to the moon, baby. Oh, to the old moon face. When I saw this story, I was like, well, yeah, I mean, like, it's profit. Tax it. Like, this didn't seem like a particularly crazy story to me. It's just so funny that the ATO recently, their big things have been like, we're going to crack down on small business. We're going to crack down on new investors, mostly young people who are just trying out a grand here and there on funny stuff. Obviously, all the things we'll keep avoiding are all the other things that are the billion-dollar industries and the people who don't pay tax at all.
Yeah, like the CEOs that got bonuses for paying their staff on JobKeeper. We'll investigate it, but... investigate it.
A totally wild story came out today about Shell not paying their resource rent tax. Of their Gorgon plant in Western Australia, they're not even going to pay the tax. They're just basically going to wrap up the plant and check out without paying tax. And no one blinks an eye, like, because they're just like, we're not going to pay tax.
Crazy.
And that's it.
Can I say that when I make millions of dollars on crypto, I'm not paying tax on that?
You can't if you make millions, but they will let you if you make billions.
Yeah, right.
That's the... If you get to that B, you can pretty much do whatever you like.
What amount of money do you have to have before you stop paying people for their work?
You have to get to the T. That's Bezos money.
That's a dream.
Yeah. Or anyone in entertainment. They're the two extremes.
You're listening to
Irrational Fear.
Has anyone in your department expressed discomfort or an unwillingness to meet with Minister Porter since his appointment?
We're aware of one complaint, one issue.
Right. Since his appointment to this role.
That's right.
Was it a female or a male?
I'm not going to comment on a confidential matter.
Irrational fear.
Next up, we've got a bloke who has been taking his Tesla all throughout regional Queensland and allowing miners to hop in it and take it for a ride. And the results are pretty crazy. If you've seen the Twitter account Miners in Teslas, you would have seen a whole bunch of videos of miners having a really good time in Teslas, including, I don't think he's a miner, but Bob Catter himself taking your Tesla for a spin. Joining us is Daniel Bleakley, the owner of the account Miners in Teslas. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me, and it's nice to communicate with you on a platform other than Twitter for the first time. So, yeah.
That's right. Long-time follower, first-time talker. Yeah. Daniel, now tell us about Miners in Teslas. Where did you come up with this idea, and why are you allowing miners to go, forcing miners to hop in your car and take it for a drive?
So I've been a climate activist for about 2 years now, or basically full-time activist, and I've done a number of actions with groups like Extinction Rebellion and other groups. My background's in engineering, and I actually grew up in a small coal mining town in Claremont in central Queensland, which is the closest town to the Adani mine. But I haven't lived there for a long time, and I live in Melbourne now. And about a month ago, or a bit over a month ago, I came back to my hometown for a holiday, and I brought my Tesla, which I've had for about 18 months. And I was staying with my brother, and he works at one of the coal mines in the region. And he took the Tesla to work for a, they call it a swing. A swing is like a week when you go and work and you come back for a week. So he took it for a week, and I said to him, look, if you take any of your mates for a drive, just take a video of them experiencing the acceleration. And so he did. And the first guy he got in there is a guy named Mark. And I haven't met Mark, but I really want to. He's got a big goatee. He's got a mullet. He's now a former petrol head. He's no longer a petrol head. And he works at the mine where my brother does. And my brother put him in the driver's seat straight up, took him to a quiet road outside of town, and came to a complete stop and just said to him, just plant it. And so Mark just planted it, his foot, and he wasn't expecting it, but the car does 0 to 100 in about 3.3 seconds, which is faster than a Lamborghini. And he wasn't expecting it. And you see this amazing joy on his face as he's accelerating. And yeah, we put the video up online, and it went viral around the world. A whole bunch of Tesla accounts shared it in the US and UK and other countries around the world. And then kind of realized, wow, we're really onto something here. As an activist, you're always looking for ways to communicate your message. And, you know, there's been that divide created in large part by the media. And the great thing about this action, I believe, is that it kind of brings us together. And it's just a moment of joy where we're experiencing this incredible clean technology together.
How have you taken to your car being used as this prop? Like, how do you feel about your own personal car? You're not even being paid by Tesla. Like, how do you feel about your part in this?
Well, I bought the car 18 months ago, not because I needed a car, but I bought it for activism. I bought it to show people how amazing electric vehicles are. Like, I live in Fitzroy North in Melbourne, so I don't need a car. I love riding my bike around, but I want people to see just how truly phenomenal the performance of modern electric vehicles is. Like, they're just incredible. And so I bought it 18 months ago, and I said to myself, I want to put as many people in this car as I possibly can, either in the passenger seat or in the driver's seat. And then COVID hit, so, you know, that's slowed us down a little bit. But yeah, now they're bringing it out to the regions. Like, people up here, they absolutely love cars. They love the performance, and yeah, they seem to love it even more than people in the city, to be honest. Yeah.
Daniel, how have like your mates, your brother's mates, people up there responded to, you know, cause it's not just, I guess, it's not just a guy in a car. Like, the implication, I guess, is it's miners in Teslas. Like, it's kind of the whole point of it is it's supposed to be sort of bridging this divide. How have they felt to sort of become the, I guess, faces of this movement that maybe they were for or maybe they were against?
That's a really good question. The guy, Mark, on the video that's received the most views, he's absolutely loving it. Like, he is loving his newfound fame. And when I first posted it, my brother was still working. So he sent me the video and I posted it, and the guys were going on to night shift that night. And my brother said, oh, there's like 20 guys on his crew who just created new Twitter accounts so they could watch it go viral and read the comments as it was going viral. So they were loving it.
Not only are you building the pie for Tesla, but you're increasing Twitter's market cap as well. This is great news. Exactly. This is great news.
How anti-clean technology do I have to pretend to be to get a drive?
We here at Coal Miners Driving Teslas, we do not discriminate. We will take anyone for a drive, no matter whether you're for or against clean technology. I can guarantee you that you're going to have a good time and it's going to put a smile on your face. If I'm in the region, hit me up and I'll definitely take
you for a spin. We live very close to each other. I don't want to dox myself, but let's just say that we are neighbors.
Okay.
Daniel, I think, like, certainly in Perth during the mining boom, everyone ended up with one or two jet skis. Do you think the jet ski industry might be quite terrified of what your account might do to their bottom line if people start thinking that maybe a Tesla's a better investment?
Potentially. And I think that's going to happen, because the smiles and the laughs that I've seen from people driving the Tesla, like, you get so much more joy out of it than riding around one of those noisy jet skis. Maybe Tesla will start making jet skis, like, and they'll be silent and our beaches will be peaceful again. But, who knows?
It's so good. I watched the account on the weekend and was just like, oh, man, like, this is smart. This feels like activism that actually works. I was like, this is really good.
Yeah, I really appreciate that comment, Lewis. As an activist, as I was saying before, you're always constantly looking for ways to communicate, and it's always adversarial. Like myself, coming from regional Queensland, coming from coal mining community, and, you know, I've been involved in some actions that have received a lot of media, and there's been that tension there for me between myself and my home community, my family and my friends who I grew up with. There's been that tension, you know, but this action feels different. This action feels like it's, yeah, kind of bringing us together a little bit more. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like I feel like there's, in activism, a lack of willingness to provide hope, to provide the solution, to kind of provide the vision for what the future could be, because a lot of activism is a lot of kind of moral, kind of standing on your, like, moral grandstanding and slapping down people for the way they live. But if you can provide a way to show what the future might look like, you might be able to bring people with you. I think that's a really interesting and powerful thing you've done.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. I think I mentioned this in the article, the Guardian article interview that I did last week, is that, like, tradition, and this isn't saying that, like, I'm not saying that traditional activism doesn't work. It really does. And what Extinction Rebellion and other groups are doing is so important and have to keep doing it. But what I was saying in the Guardian interview is that, like, generally activism is about saying stop. It's about saying no. But this is saying, here is a spaceship from the future, and you can drive it, and it's awesome. And we can all have this if we choose it. You know, that's what this is about.
My favorite thing about it is the joy element and using joy and, like, just pure delight. Like, it's just so simple. And, like, what Dan was saying before about activism needing to be sort of, like, complex and breaking things down, it's like you've tapped into something that is just so inherently delightful.
Even watching Bob Catter say yee-haw was delightful, and I never thought I'd find that delightful. You know what I mean?
It's like the very simplistic lizard brain kind of response, wasn't it? It's like, me like cars fast. Me like fast cars. Whoa!
I expected him to go yee-haw and then go deadpan and go, it's a shame that someone's taken by a crocodile.
a crocodile every minute in the church.
Yeah, I was like really stoked that we got 1 year high. The second year high, I was like, wow, okay, this is cool. The third year high, I was like, okay, this is getting a bit weird. But
what you've experienced is every conversation with Bob Catter, like, oh, cool. Oh, wait. Oh, no.
That said, I had 3 hours with Bob, and it was really good to have a chat with him. But getting back to your question, or to your point about like the joy for me, like some of the best, there's about 17 up there now, and I think some of the best ones are my brother with guys that he works with and guys that we've grown up with, and I'm not in the car, so it's my brother and his mates in this awesome piece of kit, and they're having a good time. Like, they're just having a good time, and you get a window into the Central Queensland culture and the Central Queensland sense of humor. And it's something that people in the cities never get to experience, because even if you come up here and you have a chat with someone up here, you're not going to get the real deal. Like, the real deal is when you're a local, when you've grown up with someone, and you get that fantastic sense of humor, that interaction that you see. So I think that's what makes these videos really, really beautiful, you know.
I feel like your brother is similar to my brother, and listening to him talk with his friends as well, it feels like a very intimate friendship in those spaces, and it's a real nice window. So exactly. Daniel is very clever, but also very good and very funny. So well done to you.
Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate that, mate.
All right. Well, this is pretty much it for Irrational Fear tonight. Big thank you to Sadie Bruce, Lomac, Ben Russell, Lewis Hobber, Daniel Bleakley. Do you guys have got anything to plug? Ben, you want to plug anything?
I have a web series called Hug the Sun out at the moment. It's on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and look up Grouse House. That's the channel that it's on. It's a 90s or late 80s, early 90s after school kids variety show. With strong overtones promoting a
cult,
a sun worshipping cult. Yeah.
Is it? It's safe to say, and I don't think I'm being too unkind here to say it's demented.
Yes.
Is that?
It's cursed.
It's really good.
Sadie Bruce Lomac, would you like to plug anything?
I'm trying to start a movement on Instagram. Are men okay? And I'm really asking people to sort of like submit their screenshots, anything associated with like behavior where you're like, men, are they glitching out? Like, are they okay? And it's just at are men actually okay? I've got no followers yet, but like, get on there, and I'm posting the hot memes. We're going to do it.
I've
got some good ones from Bumble Research. Believe me. Oh my God.
Lots of content, because spoiler alert, we're not. No,
it's really bad. Yeah.
We're fucked.
Lewis, are you okay?
No. But you know what does make me feel okay, Dan? The great city of Newcastle. That's what I love. I love everything about it. It's a love-in, and I can't wait to go and visit it on this weekend, mostly just so I can hang out and look around, try to spot a John's brother, and then eventually at some point we'll do a show at the Civic Theatre, which I'm really excited about.
Yes. Also, we are going to be performing at Bega as well, so make sure you come along to that. Daniel Blakely, do you want to plug anything?
Well, I'm obviously going to plug Coal Miners in Teslas, the YouTube channel, which we've got 17 episodes up now, and yesterday we were actually featured in the, well, not featured, but we got a mention in the New Yorker magazine, so going global. But I also want to plug our Patreon account, which is also Coal Miners in Teslas, because what we're trying to do now is keep this project going. I want to run this project until the election, and I want to go to as many regional towns in Australia as possible and put as many people in the seat, film their reactions, talk to them about clean technology, talk to them about the future and how awesome it can be. But I need some support. So if any of your listeners are happy to chip in, yeah, we have a Patreon account at Coal Miners in Teslas.
Yeah, Irrational Fear is also a supporter of Coal Miners in Teslas. We've just signed up to help you out.
Thank you very much.
Speaking of Patreon, I want to thank our new Patreon members this week: Gabriel Trembe, Andrew Zur, Lindy Conway, Simon Gribble, and Julia Zemiro from television is a Patreon supporter of us this week. Big thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. listeners. Also, big thanks to Road Mics, the Bertha Foundation, also Rupert Degas and Jacob Round on the Teppanyaki Timeline. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night. Oh, and also, here's a sketch I left out. It's an interview I did with Christian Porter's lawyer. You may have seen that Christian Porter has dropped his case for defamation against the ABC, but at the same time went out to media to say that he was a winner. I'm pretty confused by this, so I called up Christian Porter's lawyer to get some clarification. Well, we've got Christian Porter's lawyer on the line, Lloyd Lloydson QC.
Yeah, it's good to be with you.
Lloyd, why did Christian Porter tell the media that he won the case against the ABC when he actually dropped the case against the ABC and the case never went ahead?
Well, he did win, Dan, because if he actually went through with the case, he was going to lose. And what's the opposite of losing? Winning.
I don't quite follow you.
Well, by not going through the case and suffering enormous stress and financial burden that such a case can bring, that's a win, my friend.
Yeah, but if I challenge someone to a race and we warm up for the race and I see that that person I've challenged is actually quite athletic and has clearly done the work to run the race, then I decide that I'm not going to run the race. Isn't that a forfeit and therefore I can't possibly win the race because I haven't won the race?
Well, it depends, Dan. Do you like running races?
No.
Well, so you're a winner too. The only loser in this whole situation is me. When Porter came to me and said, I want to sue the ABC for defamation, I was like, fuck yeah, you do. So I called my builder and said, the pool cabana with tennis court stable and menage is on. I'm transferring you the deposit now.
So you're the loser?
In this particular case, yes. I've been fucked. And I didn't predict I was going to get fucked. My client,
Christian Porter,
surprise fucked me.
Interesting. Your pool cabana and tennis court aside.
And menage.
Did Mr. Porter backing down,
being a winner,
have anything to do with the 27-page dossier that the ABC would have had to have made public if the court case went to trial?
Oh, yeah, there could have been some awful shit in that dossier. But what's worse is that I'm not going to get my deposit back. I don't even need a menage. I had to give my horses to my ex in the divorce, and I'm just trying to get her back.
Now, the ABC hasn't removed this story at the centre of this dispute. Instead, adding a little editor's note saying that they regret that some people may have thought that Christian Porter was the alleged rapist at the centre of the story. Was that part of the settlement deal that you struck?
Well, there's no real settlement. We didn't get money from the ABC. They didn't even get forced to pay costs, which would have been nice. Could have paid for the demolition of the granny flat.
Which granny flat?
The one that was in the way of the menage.
Floyd Floydson, thanks for your time.
Oh, good to be with you. Oh, I meant to ask before we started, is there a fee for this interview?
No, there's not.
Fuck!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.